Hello, everybody, and welcome to the June 2017 edition of the Bizarre Briefing. We're a little belated this month, but...
by about 2 weeks, halfway through the month.
Okay.
It happens. It's fine.
Well, it's fine because if you listen to the show, you only got last month's episode like 2 weeks ago, too. So I'm Bryce Castillo, as always, joined with Brant Hughes.
Hey, that's me.
Max Gilliland.
How's it going?
And Jeff Schuessler.
Yo.
This is the Behind the Scenes podcast where we talk about all of the wonderful stuff about working in Bizarre Magic on Scam School and Modern Rogue and scam stuff and the podcast like Night Attack and Weird Things and also...
Chord Killers.
Yes. Scam School Remix, Extended Outtakes.
After Things.
Oh. And...
Spoiler time.
The Night Attack pre-show and post-show. Welcome, guys. Happy June.
Hi.
Hello.
No, it's July. That's right. We do magazine.
It is July.
Do we do magazine numbering or do we do opposite magazine numbering? Because you buy magazines and they have the month ahead. So we are opposite magazine numbering.
Yeah.
This is growing great.
Yeah, we do the month that we experience. The month that we're talking about.
Yes.
Gotcha.
We are a little late because between Nerdtacular and the TV stuff, it ended up being kind of a weird thing to schedule out. So here we are in the middle of July, ready to talk about June. Had a lot of stuff going on. Let's just start down the list. And this looks like it might be a resolution to a Brant's rant, but it is also possibly just a new workflow thing.
This is just a different Brant rant, I guess.
Got it.
So sometimes I stream out edits and people see my process of putting together a Scam School or Modern Rogue, and people who have probably understand or have a decent understanding of how I handle audio.
Mm-hmm.
So audio, we do a multi-camera setup, and then everybody has a lavalier mic, right? And then every lavalier mic gets recorded into its own separate channel, so that way we can manipulate them individually. Lavalier mics are nice, they sound good, they're clear, but you get a fair amount of spillover, right? Yeah. So Brian's mic will hear Brian, and
Jason,
it'll hear whoever's talking next to him, and everything like that. So it kind of has a sort of a roomy sound, mm-hmm. instead of like a sharp, clear sound. So what I do is I edit the video the way I normally would, and then I go through second by second, phrase by phrase, and chop up all of the audio, and then mute people who aren't talking, and then that helps it sound clear. And then I do necessary compression, which is like taking the really loud stuff and bringing it down to a listenable level, taking the really quiet stuff, bringing it up to a listenable level.
But doing it manually and not through a compressor
yeah.
effect.
Mm-hmm. Mostly because I tried automated compression years ago, but it just wasn't there. A lot of times, especially with variable mics, when you're adjusting the gain and stuff, your floor changes. So it doesn't really know when the person who you want to hear is speaking or when the person next to them is speaking.
Mm-hmm.
So it can be really messy.
Yeah.
And
it's time consuming.
The most time consuming part of any edit of any episode.
Especially now that Modern Rogue episodes are getting longer.
Oh my God. We had a 36 minute episode not long ago with four people speaking. And it was real bad. So
light name for it.
I figured out a way to automate it a little bit.
Okay.
It's still very much the same kind of chopping up process.
Mm. Yeah.
But now what I do is I chop it up a little bit less than I used to.
Mm-hmm.
And I select everything that I don't want to be heard.
Yeah.
And I drop it down to negative 30 decibels or so.
Yeah.
I want just a little bit of audio coming through, but mostly muted. And then for all of the spoken dialogue, I select it all and normalize each clip to negative 3 decibels or so, yeah. negative 4 decibels.
This is Premiere has a normalize all clips. So instead, so you can have a set where like, hey, these are all my clips. And you can say normalize all of them the same to whatever the highest point in all of them is, in mm-hmm. like all of them in totality or per clip.
Yeah, and so it'll go through and analyze how loud each audio clip is, and then it'll take the highest point and put it to where you set it.
Right.
So I set them all to a certain level. For the most part, it works pretty well, yeah. but As with any automated process, it's imperfect. So there are some times where you go, oh, I selected a clip of a bunch of really quiet bits and it just added 30 decibels and it just sounds like really gross and miserable. So you definitely have to go through and fine tune it quite a bit.
Yeah, I've been doing a similar thing because I, for the longest time, what I would do is I would go and use color codes of like, I'll use rose, the rose color for parts that people aren't speaking. Maybe I got this from you. I'd use the rose color for when people aren't speaking, and then at the end I would go and I could pick all the rows using the select label group and then set it to 30. So at least that part was like, saves a little bit of time. You just clip it and color it.
Right.
But then like at a certain point you can go in and see like, okay, this phrase is about this loud and then this phrase gets louder. And so you can make individual cuts, but you have to be careful because if a clip is too short, or like if you say if a clip is too quiet, it can overcorrect in a bad way. Or if a clip has a super loud part next to a super quiet part, the super quiet part will probably get drowned out. Mm-hmm. You know, right. It's a good way to get like a very quick first run of it.
Yeah.
Well, I've always found that it's easier to fix than it is to go through every single second. It's easier to just listen to it and find out where it's wrong and then fix that as opposed to scrubbing through, you know, four different audio tracks for 36 minutes.
Yeah.
I'm just so fastidious and like I've got that completionist.
Yeah, that quality eye, that eye for detail.
You get all the achievements.
Years of experience in fine-tuning.
So that's what that's been up to. And it's mostly good, but I'm still always on the lookout for better techniques.
Mm-hmm. Very cool.
Yeah.
Well, I if you find some, let me know. But I know you need it more than I do.
Yeah.
So let's get into the TV stuff. We talked about it last month. We talked about it last month in generalities, and then the episode came out so late that it had been announced and then aired within that time. So we can kind of debrief a little bit on TV stuff. So as you know, or if for some reason you only listen to this podcast and literally nothing else, you don't watch Scam School, you don't see the Scam School channel where we talked about it, you don't listen to any of the podcasts where Brian talked about for the two weeks that we knew about the air date, we did two Scam School TV pilots. They aired on the Science Channel on a Saturday morning in the dead of morning. And they're great. They're very good. They package up some old Scam School episodes, some new stuff we shot, and the response was really nice. We had a lot of people say that it was well made, and that whoever made it is very handsome, and that he's got good hair, and
oh, thank you.
It's a team effort. It's a team effort.
Yeah.
And we haven't heard back yet on anything about it. We don't know if they're going to order any. We don't know any specific numbers. And we haven't been inundated with people asking about it, but that's always the thing people think of is like, okay, what's next? And it's like, well, you know, they certainly ran us into the pilot process very quick, but it's a slow machination. Like we when we were originally talking about it, we were, and this was like earlier this year, we were looking at like an April or May air date for these pilots. And then they aired in what, late June or whenever it was. I don't even remember now. It's so far past. But it was a very weird thing to just be like, okay, we got your air date. They told us what your air date is. It's like two weeks, and there's this like hustle at that point to like finish it because there's a lot of paperwork that goes into making a TV program that people could probably guess but wouldn't necessarily think about, right? We have to track all of the music that we use, and like, you know how, so when we track music for Scam School, right, we have this log sheet that reports the music. We just put in the file name and how long it was and how long the episode was, and that's pretty much it. Well, for the TV stuff, it is a little more intense. It's a little more intensive is not right, but it is a little more in depth in that, like, we have to go in and list the composers and the writers and the music rights companies that own the rights, so that they can report it to BMI and ASCAP and GMA and all of these other counting, measuring, you know, systems, so that people can get paid. Mm-hmm. And so that is kind of its, like, that part is like its own process, and then like here's the thing that people would never think about. People probably know about like TitleSafe, right? If you guys in this room probably know about TitleSafe, it is a percentage of the frame at the edges where you are supposed to keep actions and important text out of, to make sure that it is seen if someone's got a screwed up monitor, if they've got overscan, et cetera, et cetera. And the Discovery, who we were going through, has their own version of TitleSafe. And so instead of being uniform, it is like, I can't give specifics because I think technically that information is confidential, but it is squeezed in a little more on the right side. And so you have an uneven protected TitleSafe area. I talked about this when we did the Nesh commentary for the episodes,
which is on the BBpedia videos channel.
That's right. Which is our fourth. If you want to see everything, that's channel number four. But it means that we had to go in and like change some of the graphics. So like we did the unmarried married person riddle, right? You've got people looking, and so like at the very end when Brian's explaining it, you know, you have the head pop up and the thing come out on the right, and the head pop out and the thing come out on the right, and the head pop out and the thing come out on the right, and it's this big full screen overlay. But we had to change it so that for the bottom right one, the head would pop out and the text would come on the left, because that text needs to be inside that title safe space. Mm-hmm. It's weird things like that. We have to find and time code moments in the show that are like, don't have overlays, don't have a lot of graphics on them, so that if need be, something could run over the video at that point. So you have to, so not only like keeping stuff away for overlays, but also and this is in the documentation, it's like, if there's a moment that is like somber or, for lack of a better word, a downer, and it would not be good to run an ad on it, don't try to find another time, please.
So like the part in the riddle when the mom dies, you don't want like next Thursday
to come up on the bottom. It's not the part when the mom dies, but it's the movie Up, where you don't want to put an ad for your TBS sitcom in that first act where the woman actually dies. The movie's old. You'll get it right. But yeah, it's so that it can promote other shows with bigger overlays and stuff. So there's just a lot of paperwork and stuff that kind of had us biting my nails up until the day of. There was one thing that I did not control and did not have any control over that we found out at the last minute we did not have. I'm keeping it general because I literally don't even know. I know that it was resolved, but all I heard was like, hey, you might have to do this. Wait for me to tell you something. And then like 2 days before, it's like, I think I have a lead on us fixing this for you. And then I heard nothing until after it was done. It's like, yeah, we got it fixed. You're good.
God,
I was like,
awful.
Okay, that was a big thing. So it's a very particular process. And it's very involved, but it was really like I can look back at it now. Like talking about it now, I actually can feel really good about it. Not that it's bad. I think it's a really great show, but the pressure of it was just crushing. So if you saw it, great. Thank you so much for watching it. We'll let you know as soon as we can if there are more episodes. We are so transparent and open that I don't think we could like start working on it and not like have people immediately be like, oh, they're probably they probably can't talk about it yet, but they're probably
yeah.
You know, so that's the TV stuff. So it is time for the main event of the day. Oh, it's 7-Eleven, guys. It's 7-Eleven day.
Oh,
you get free small Slurpees.
Yeah,
at 7-Eleven.
It's 7-Eleven. I know where I'm going after this.
Oh my God,
very nice.
Well,
and that
that's the main event.
That's a wrap. Right? Yes.
No, we launched the Modern Rogue Patreon today. Patreon.com/Modern Rogue.
Congratulations. And,
I mean, you're part of it too.
Probably somehow.
Your name is sometimes on the title card. Yes.
There are other things happening here, I think. It's
Max doesn't really work here. He likes to come to the bizarre briefing.
So
how did I get in this room?
So we launched the Modern Rogue Patreon earlier this morning, probably, 6 hours ago. Mm. It's doing pretty nice, about $1,100 a month. And I think that's pretty good given that it's not necessarily the Modern Rogue day for people. Yeah. Like Friday is that day for a lot of people.
Sure.
And so, you know, we did have a video go up on the Modern Rogue channel, but that was also kind of earlier in the day and an unexpected day. So I bet with Friday we see another bump in people who come by. But let's talk about let's talk about the Patreon. I mean, this is the topic that I've introduced, and it's called the Patreon.com.
All right. Excellent.
So what have we done? Well.
Okay, so we started a show called Modern Rogue.
All right. Who, starring who?
Okay.
So we've been doing the Patreon, the Modern Rogue show for over a year.
Yeah.
The YouTube channel has been about 9 months.
Something like that.
Plus a few months for when it was on the Scam School channel. And we've had ads on and off. We've got the YouTube ads and stuff. You've seen us do sponsor. You've seen them do sponsor bits. But it's at a point where the Modern Rogue has teeth, and it is growing, and it's growing in a really cool way. And we're at a point where for the Modern Rogue to keep like happening and coming out at like the quality that it is, and for it to grow and become even bigger, we need support. We need the support of people, and that means, like, for example, being able to take more Scam School stuff off of your plate, Brant, and move some of that stuff over to Jeff and myself, so that we can do more things like bigger shoots. When there are longer edits, you have more than 30 hours to put them together. It means we can do extra stuff, like we've been talking about doing mailbags, we've been talking about doing just live stream stuff, possibly live streaming shoot dates, possibly. So like, there's a lot of stuff on the table, and it's all a little nebulous.
Yeah.
But, like, how are you feeling, Brant? Because I feel like the Modern Rogue is really your baby?
Mm-hmm.
Question mark?
Yeah. So quick editor's note, year and a half, Slider's right. First episode went up December 2015.
Right. Very nice.
Now that that's out of the way. Yeah. I'm feeling good about it. I mean, I'm sure I talked about it on the show, but I really wanted us to do a Patreon back when we first moved Modern Rogue over to its own channel. So it's something that's been on my mind quite a bit.
Yeah.
And it was also it's also very similar to when we launched Modern Rogue, because it was the kind of thing that Brian and Jason were like, yeah, we should probably do it, and we'll get around to it one day. And then it was months of that.
Yeah.
And then I was sitting here going, this could actually be really cool. You should probably actually do it, maybe, instead of just saying that we should do it. And the Patreon was the same kind of thing, where they were like, yeah, we should get around to it, I guess. Yeah. And I just had to say,
about time.
Every single week that goes by that you don't have this Patreon up is money you're throwing away.
Right.
So we eventually got around to it, and it was kind of a weird dash to the finish on that, because originally it was going to be
a couple weeks ago, and then
it got pushed, and then everything kind of came together really last minute, like within the last 24 hours.
Yeah, I mean, the text that is on that page was written within the past 48 hours. And was being edited as it launched, minutes before it launched. We were making tweaks and changes and stuff.
Yeah.
In good fashion, as always.
I'm excited for it, and I think it's a very good start for the Patreon. And, you know, like one of the things is that it, like, doesn't have goals on it yet, because we kind of want to see what is out there right now and then go from there, see, like, what we can do with what people are interested in offering up, and then how we can entice people even more with more discrete and concrete, like, goals to work towards.
It's one of those things you never want to get trapped in a situation, especially with Patreon, where you promise to give away a bunch of stuff, and then it turns out that you don't. The money that you brought in was not enough to actually do that stuff.
Sure.
So then you get locked in this horrible thing of not giving people their rewards, or it taking too long, or whatnot.
Or just getting into a weird spot of, like, setting all your goals really high, and then starting out lower than you expect, and it becomes like the Patreons that Brian is a part of already are sort of like that too. Like Weird Things, the Weird Things podcast, Patreon had equally high goals to Cord Killers and Night Attack do, but brings in less money per episode, and so things that were like, hey, at $10,000 an episode, we'll do a live Weird Things convention. And it's like, well, that's not happening.
Right.
Not happening. It's not happening right now. It could happen. And that can be on the table. But we need to calibrate and understand that stuff first before we need to see what we're working with.
Yeah. And it's also a weird thing of, like, you know, one of the obvious, like, stretch goals would be, oh, we're going to do two episodes per week now. Which is definitely something that we intend to do.
Right.
But it, like, any number we would give for that would be completely arbitrary, because right now the thing that's limiting two per week is not necessarily money, but time. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of managerial stuff that has to happen in order for us to unlock that. And of course, the money incentive helps us go, okay,
we can feel safe.
This is a higher priority now that we can afford to do these kind of things.
Yeah.
And I think there's a lot of stuff like that. And also, like, the tangible benefits. I understand that people like to see a goal to accomplish and achieve and be a part of that stepping stone.
Mm-hmm.
But I also don't think – I think if somebody's like, oh, wow, we're $3,000 away from our next goal – I don't know that that's necessarily a huge incentive for them to go, I'm going to up my pledge from $5 a week to $10 a week for this month. And then because I don't have a ton of money, like, I'll probably have to drop it down later to be more sustainable. Yeah. And so it's just kind of like a temporary stopgap solution that I feel like I like that people can just donate what they feel comfortable with and not have it be attached to some big heady thing, and then for them to just trust us to go, yeah, these are big cool things that we want to do, and trust that when we have the money to do it, we're gonna do it.
Right. And Slider is asking for clarification. The Patreon is a monthly Patreon, not weekly, which is something that we were going back and forth on a lot.
I felt like mostly Brian was going back and forth a lot. I feel like a lot of us kind of got the vibe that monthly was probably the right solution for this.
Because I think the idea with per video was like, it's like we do a video every week and people can get that. But at some point, if we up our output, what do we test the waters of what do we like? Getting into this weird thing of, like, classifying if an episode should be free or paid.
Yeah, and, like, what's the value of an episode? If people are paying money for an episode and they didn't like the episode, then they're like, well, then I just threw away money on that episode.
Right.
If we do, like, experimental things, like a Q&A type of thing or whatever, then, like, is that worth money? If we do, like, a second episode per week, but it's a smaller episode. Like, we have one that we filmed with Steve Wolf when we were doing all of our Stunt Ranch episodes. And it's like a small thing, but it's a cool, interesting thing that doesn't really support itself for a full episode if we're doing weekly. But if it's a second episode in that week, then it kind of makes a lot more sense.
Right.
But then, like, do you charge for that or do you not?
And I also think that when you are doing per creation, you are doing it either because you say, my schedule is regular, you can time your watch to it, it's going to be every week, every other week, or it's going to be, it is going to happen less than once a month, and it will happen occasionally, and you have no stress because what we are doing is a transaction. And so when I put a song out, that's when I charge people, and it can be months and months or over a year. And you don't have to be worried. Whereas, like, once you get over once a week, and once you get to a point where it's variable, then suddenly you have to start explaining to people, well, so you can set your budget and you can, like, you get into a weird thing of having to teach people who already got in a certain pattern that the pattern is changing. Mm-hmm. And that is a lot of friction. That's a lot of friction.
Yeah. And I also just kind of like the idea of if you're pitching in per month, it kind of separates it from the product a little bit and kind of says, like, we like you people who are making things that we like. So we're going to help support you to keep making things we like. It's kind of just a broader support, I think. And I'm sure a lot of that stems from, you know, Giant Bomb. I always bring it back to Giant Bomb. But, you know, they've got a yearly subscription, which I've been a subscriber to for years. And it's just because I like them and the things they make so much that I just want to support them how I can. And that's more about, like, supporting them than it is about paying for videos.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
And I think, especially because when you do per creation, and there is that uncertainty of what that schedule looks like. When you say, we're doing it per month, it's $5 a month, that is something really concrete that people can get their hands on, right? Like, that is a Twitch Prime or Twitch subscription, right? Like, mm-hmm. that is becoming a very, you know, that's one half of a Netflix a month, you know? And that's something people can wrap their heads around instead of saying, well, I'm going to do $1 per video. In some months there will be 4 videos and some months there will be 5 because of the weeks and keeping track of that. It's
just way cleaner.
It's so clean. And through this whole process, I've tried to be like, let's make it very simple and straightforward so that It is because we have a lot of things. We have a lot of different types of access that people can get between first cut first pass, which is our uncut full shoot, basically multicam look at the episodes. We talked about this last month. Mm-hmm. We just had one go up today for patrons about how to fight with long swords. That just went up. That's almost 2 hours?
Yeah, hour and a half? Like an hour and 50 minutes. Wow.
And that's great. You get to see, like, all of their takes and all of their different things. You get to see all of the camera angles.
All of it.
The in-between very moments nice. When we're setting up audio for their weird masks and stuff. Mm-hmm. The things like the live streams, things like early access, which is something that Patreon with their new redesign is, like, building into their system. So you can say, at a point, this post goes from, like, restricted to these tiers to open to everybody, which is great. I wish the podcasts had it, because that is exactly what our podcasts do, is that you usually just get early access to stuff. And so things like getting outtakes early. And was there something else early? Like, we have a lot of stuff. Maybe I'm thinking of something else.
I think outtakes is the only early thing.
Only
early.
Okay.
That I can think of.
That is just more of, like, Patreon continuing to understand that people don't that when people want early, the people can want it through Patreon system. So, like, people could have a Patreon account, not pledge, but follow the Modern Rogue and still get alerts of, like, when a new episode comes out.
Right.
Because those would presumably be public posts that anybody could see. Mm-hmm. And that keeps people inside Patreon. It lets people comment within Patreon. It people get notifications, which is the thing, especially with the podcasts. I feel like people we like all the podcasts that we have, especially when they first launched, right? It was like, just give us a cent an episode and you won't see it for 2 years because they won't charge you till it's a dollar. And we actually just had someone on the Reddit who made a thread that was like, hey, I finally got my first bill.
Yeah, I saw that.
Okay, cool, dude.
Yeah.
But it's like because those people just want to get connected and they want access. And so I think that we are going to be empowered to do a lot of really cool extra stuff. Like the Discord. We have the Discord as a part of all of these rewards. Mm-hmm. And right now it's Patreon only. I don't know. Like, I threw it out there because somebody asked, and shying on being taking the safer route. Like, I was like, we will make it for patrons right now, and we'll see. But like, the discussions on there are great. There's a lot of people coming in, and a lot mm-hmm. of people connecting, and that space is going to grow over time with channels and moderators, and y'all are welcome to be in it, Jeff and Max.
Absolutely.
And it's really cool. It's promising.
Yeah, and just to clarify, of course, you know, all regular episodes are still going to be
free,
regular and free, public for everybody. Same
on YouTube,
same time frame
on the day. Yeah,
all that stuff. So really, just like any extra funding we get, just kind of goes to grow and build and add more.
Yeah.
So. And even if you don't pitch in, like
that's right,
yeah. Like and share and comment
still
and just
good, yeah.
But just still be a cool person.
Actually, because we had that video go up and people were like, well, you know, I can't support right now, but it's definitely on the top of my list when I can. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you know, that's great, but like possibly more important is like just tell your friend, tell somebody about it, share it, like. It sounds very like join the conversation and share, right. But it's like, yep. That actually really helps a lot because the systems that check for how people find a video and how many people find things certain ways and how many different places these videos are being accessed, like it really does help in just having these videos be surfaced to different people.
Mm-hmm.
And so like, you know,
and also
follows are free, but shares are worth a lot.
Yeah, and yeah. Just having like an active, thriving community is really valuable. Mm-hmm. Even just for making episodes, like you know, sometimes working off of the community can really help enrich that kind of thing. Because I mean, whether we get something wrong and somebody wants to correct us, or yeah. Whether like the sword fighting episode, yeah. that all came together because somebody left a comment on a video telling Jason that we should look into HEMA stuff. And yeah. So Jason looked into it and right. He got connected up with our sword fighting people. So a lot of that stuff helps in sometimes ways that is less tangible than it seems.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And that's or a big
more
part.
Tangible than it seems.
Mm-hmm. More, yeah, more
seems intangible, but has solid, You're
making it worse.
Solid benefits.
Corporeal.
No. Yeah.
And that's another part of the Patreon. One thing that we've talked about is like posting, letting people know like what we're shooting when we're shooting it, and like being very open instead of just like having like kind of teasy Instagram stuff. It can be like, hey, we're shooting these episodes. Like, this is our schedule for the next few weeks, and these are the things that we're going to try to shoot, and giving people on some level a chance to have input on like what they are most interested in or what they might be interested in to see first. And even just like with the Chat Realm Diamond Club Discord, we have the Diamond Lounge, which is if you're a patron of any of the shows, you can get into that. And whenever there's something like just a little insidery, like a little behind the scenes stuff, like I'll post it in there. I'll be like, hey, like I'm telling you guys first, we're not totally confirmed, but we're gonna have this person on this podcast and that's gonna be really cool. Or like we are working on this, or what emotes do you want to see on the Twitch stuff? Like mm-hmm. it's kind of day-to-day access. And it's small, but I'd like to think it is meaningful and powerful for people. Mm. And hopefully, hopefully that is a very hard thing to sell. You know, like, hey, we'll tell you what the fuck's going on. It's like, that's not always an easy sell for people, but mm-hmm. I think right. there's a quiet power in being on the inside track of the modern rogue.
This whole segment is just us saying, hey, we're really cool. You want to hear more yeah. about us, right?
Click the button and there's money involved.
We started the Patreon and like, or we started the Discord and people were like, well, man, y'all should do a podcast. I was like, motherfucker, we've been doing a podcast for years. I think we are 2 years into the Bizarre Briefing now.
Yeah.
It's pretty crazy.
Should we fact check that?
You can actually just check the latest 25. So yeah, last. Oh, that link is not right. That's nice. Oops, shit. I hope yeah, that
we had this podcast HTML going back when John worked here.
That's right. That's yes. right. It'll outlive us probably.
Probably.
We're all gonna die, and in 100 years. Whoever buys Bizarre Magic after Brian's dead and we've all died.
It's just going to be a dedicated, like, Adobe grief podcast.
Adobe Have. No. Almost. We'll workshop that.
Yeah.
We'll workshop that one a little bit more.
I mean, we got time.
We have hundreds of years.
Yeah.
So that's the Patreon. Anything else that maybe we didn't quite touch on? I feel like okay, hold on. I did think of something. Okay. So when the Patreon launched, we have a slew of reward tiers.
Yeah.
Right? $5, mm-hmm. $10, $30 a month.
Which, by the way, you can contribute less than $5 if you wish and just not have a reward.
Yeah. And then so you definitely still get in on email notifications for public stuff. Mm. Check it out. But our highest level tiers are Titan tier, and that is at $10,000 a month. Ooh. Now, yes.
Damn. Sell me on this price.
Absolutely no one is going to. Okay, it is.
When you say that, we've is had, when that zero there, turns
there will
to
be
a one.
One person.
Yes. Yes.
We've had many conversations about what this tier is. Mm-hmm. And even the $1,000 one a month is kind of whack. and I think now that it is launched, we could very realistically say those are probably not ever going to be taken by someone who intends to fulfill them for more than a month. Right?
Definitely not for more than a month.
How does that work? Do they, like, put that money in escrow or something to prove that you're serious? Like, what's to stop me from signing up to be the $10,000 backer for the modern road?
There's nothing.
Okay.
There's nothing stopping it. And because it's monthly, you cannot budget it out, motherfucker. And so, like, realistically, that is very unlikely to happen by anybody for any amount of time. But...
But, go back down. I want to see that. I want to see what else in there.
So on the $10,000 one, the idea is that we'll do this thing called the Modern Rogue Weekend, and we'll fly you out, and we'll put you up, and we'll take you around town and do a bunch of cool shit with you. And, like, that is a cool idea. That is a lofty goal, but we don't have goals in the Patreon yet. And that is a really cool idea, and that is something Jason and Brian really do want to do. Mm-hmm. But it would also be a very weird selling point of like, hey, at some point we'll do live events and all sorts of things, which is something right. that outside of Modern Rogue they've talked yeah. about a lot with like Scam School or whatever. And so I think it does accomplish two things that we probably unintentionally solved, but I think that it did it successfully anyway, is that it erased the idea of what our top our realistic top pledge level someone would contribute to, right? Like, if our top level was like $100 a month, You pr- there we could
$100 a month. Fly to Austin.
Let me just look. Hey, you know, hey, it happens.
Mm-hmm.
It does.
It happens. Yep.
Yeah.
Then you might get some. Well, like, I want to give you. That's my monocle. or we can just say, like, look, what I'm saying.
Really should have had that top hat earlier.
The top hat would have been really good. What I'm saying is that it erases the idea of someone seeing the highest reasonable level we could possibly expect anyone to do and say, I want something more than that. Even if it's a one-off, this means that it is the sky is – it's not the sky is the limit. The limit is a joke. That we have – options for you.
I just like the fact that $100 a month is monocle money at this point.
Well,
I mean, yeah.
Yeah. Kinda. Yes. Also, yes.
Okay.
Sure.
But I think it also does accomplish another thing, which is I guess those are my two things, is that it gets rid of the idea of what we think a reasonable top level could be and then top out, which is always a tough thing. You see Kickstarters with like huge top level pledges because there's an off chance someone gets the highest thing, but it also gets people in a fuzzier spot of like, what is the highest thing that I'm going to get?
Yeah, you really don't want to get caught in a situation where you've limited a possible whale. Yeah.
Right.
Because then you're just selling yourself short.
Yeah.
Yes.
And it introduces in a side street these larger ideas of a modern rogue weekend, of on-set visits, of getting props and stuff from the show in some way. You know,
that's one that I think is super cool.
It is really cool.
The prop stuff.
We when we did the exploding propane stuff, we kept one of them. We kept like one of them and the guys signed it. And I think we were considering doing it a giveaway, but I think we're holding up for something like that. And it's very cool. It's got the bullet holes and they've signed the bottom of it and dated it. And so it is a space for those ideas to exist without taking up inches on this copy, in this campaign copy.
Right.
Okay.
So yes, no one is going to give us 100,000 to 100,000.
What if they do?
What if they do?
What if they say, I just want the $10,000 tier, but I'm going to give you $100,000?
What if the same person
– we did.
What if the same person buys all five $10,000 slots? Is that
– Then we're going to have a real good time.
They just bought tickets for five friends.
Exactly.
So –
One last bit before we get off of the Patreon thing.
Sure, please.
The shirts.
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 So the $30 tier, the idea would be...
This is the Vanguard tier.
Yeah, the idea would be that we would send out an exclusively designed shirt. A Modern Rogue related shirt.
That'd be cool.
For that quarter that we're like... Hey, this is a cool,
it's a cool
neat,
idea.
Exclusive thing.
Yeah.
I feel like the logistics aren't quite in play yet.
Probably not.
We haven't really figured out exacts, but it's a fun idea.
I think it's a really cool idea, right? We got 14 people. If every 3 months we gotta come up with a design, put some words on a shirt, stencil someone, whatever, and send it to 15 people, and then we got a shirt design.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of the idea behind this, for me at least, was I have a The Last of Us shirt that was given to Bryce, myself, and Brian.
I did not get one.
Oh, you didn't?
John got one.
Oh.
Is this the Ellie one? Sorry. The Ellie and the giraffe one?
Yeah.
Which is really cute, and I really want one.
It's really good.
But I was not getting one.
And so it's like...
That was before I started.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, right, because that was given to us at Dragon Con. And that had to have been 2013 because that's the last time I went to a convention.
Yeah.
And so it's this great like cartoon style outline design of Joe and Ellie. And they're talking about drafts or whatever. And apparently it was like just made for the internal team.
Oh, no kidding.
I think.
Wow.
So it's like this pretty exclusive shirt.
Yeah.
And it's just it's one of my favorite things in the world. So I wear it like all the time. And I really love the idea of being able to give people that same kind of experience of like, here's this cool shirt that like nobody has.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that there's a lot of power in being able to do something like that. Whether it's a shirt, I think it could also possibly like, hey, this quarter it's gonna be a coffee mug because we did a coffee related thing that people like or whatever. Like, I think there's a lot of opportunities for that to be different things as time goes on. And yeah, there's just like a lot of, if you get a good shirt, you like that shirt.
And
yeah,
free advertising.
Well,
let's be real here.
I wouldn't know anything about it. He said drinking from his bottle that has stickers from a bunch of different things that are clearly just free promotion for them.
The first exclusive shirt is just going to say patreon.com/modernrogue. Wow, what a great design.
But like I've got an Anamana Gucci shirt that I really love. I haven't had it for very long, but it's one of my favorite shirts. Partially because I picked it myself, but concert shirts. That's why concert shirts are a thing, because they're in a time. It's very
sure.
Cool. So keep an eye on that. Patreon.com/modernrogue if you didn't already know about it. All right. Let's go on to another topic, please.
Okay.
All right.
I guess I don't know how much to talk about. Brian, here's the thing about YouTubers.
Okay. Talk to me about the YouTubers.
YouTubers love to talk about their numbers.
Oh.
A lot. It's funny that there's a YouTuber that I like called She Says. He does Boundary Break, which is a show about going into games with emulators and messing with the camera and finding other cool stuff. And he posted a video on Twitter the other day, and it just said important message about my last video or something. And I was like, oh, maybe he's re-uploading it. Maybe he's like, there's a controversial thing I haven't seen yet or whatever. And I'm very happy for his success, but it was like, a little minute, like, selfie video in the car of like, hey, thank you guys so much for watching that video. It got X 100,000 views on YouTube, and that's really great. Thank you guys. And I was like, oh, that's the end of that video. That's the message. you do have to be very like numbers focused, especially because this is all voodoo. This is all tea leaves. No one knows what the fuck we're doing, but we know that we've got a number. And the machine says this is our number. So I guess in the past, this was over Nerdtacular. It's probably started before Nerdtacular and finished right about the time we got back. But there was just this constant hum of like, oh, the summer winds of YouTube are gracing our channel right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the styrofoam video did really well.
Yeah. I'd also like to point out that there was a guy, I think he might have been popular on Instagram or Snapchat.
Uh-huh.
He seemed very numbers focused as well. He popped into our comments and gave me some guff about how our 36-minute episode could have been 5 minutes. And
whatever.
And he said he knew what he was talking about because he had 26,000 followers.
Ooh, oh, big man. Yeah.
So... He's put as much thought into my episode as I have.
I did. When I heard it was 36 minutes, I thought, is there any way he could have split that into two? Because over 30 minutes. Okay, here's the thing.
Okay.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
I like to watch a lot of long videos, right? Because they are often tuned or they are meant to be consumed long form like a podcast or something, right? Like Monster Factories are like 20 some minutes. Quick Looks are 30 to an hour, hour and a half, you know? And so when it clicked over 30 minutes, I was like, would I click to watch a 36-minute video? It was just this weird thing of like, I heard the number 36 and I was like, this is into like abstract territory where regardless of what it is, I have a different feel on it than I would normally understand. Yeah. You know, the real world numbers. Like, so actually let's, maybe that's an actual topic instead of talking about Brian being numbers crazy, is like, how do you feel about longer episodes like that, do you feel like there's an upper limit for this sort of stuff, or do you think that there's a good reason to compartmentalize longer stuff like that?
So Modern Rogue is interesting because I've never really thought too much into what a Modern Rogue episode should be lengthwise. I've definitely thought that a lot with Scam School, because Scam School is typically a very specific, like, here's a trick, let me show you a trick, let me show you how to do a trick.
And we'll get out.
Yep. Yeah. And there's like there's a real sweet spot for that. Modern Rogue is kind of a little bit more nebulous, where it's more about the process than the actual finished product.
Yeah.
And so sometimes the process is very meandering and winding and just kind of is its own thing. So sometimes we put out really short episodes and I go, yeah, that feels right. Like, that's what we have for that topic. Mm. And sometimes we put out ridiculously long episodes and I go, yeah, like, any less, I feel like we would have robbed of the process. Same with like the wood carving episode,
right?
With chainsaws, that was the first one that went over 20 minutes long, and that was one where I had to really come to terms with, okay, I've got 3 hours of footage. What do I do with it?
Yeah,
because theoretically, I could probably put a 5 to 8 minute episode out, but I feel like you'd see the beginning and you'd see the end. And you would have no idea how they got there.
Actually, yeah. That's a really good point. I feel like I've never, when I think about Scam School, right, I think about, this is the trick. These are the points and the steps that you do to get it done. Mm-hmm. Here it is one more time. Bye-bye. And with Modern Rogue, especially the way we shoot Modern Rogue, or just how very loosey-goosey it is, mm-hmm. of like kind of going in and then they decide what the beats are. It's like they're not even going in with these hard and fast thought points, these like, be sure to do this. Like, that's not happening on this show,
right?
And that's kind of eye opening. I hadn't considered it in that way, as a means of it just being less direct.
Yeah, and there's also a thing about, the extended outtakes was a real gift for me to be able to put stuff into that, because I remember when I first started Scam School, it was really hard for me to cut out fun, like, character moments. Yeah. Like moments that don't contribute to the trick or the explanation, but are just like fun to watch. Mm-hmm. But it was an important thing to learn, because that's like a part of what Scam School is, but that's not the directive of Scam School. That's not like the purpose of Scam School. Whereas Modern Rogue, it kind of is, but also having the extended outtakes allows me to much more clearly delineate, okay, this is a bit that doesn't help the narrative of the episode, but is fun to watch and could exist on its own thing. And so having that kind of curated side product really helps me figure out where the actual episode should go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But yeah, it's definitely a weird thing of just, you know, some episodes you can just tell are going to be real, real quick and easy. And some episodes, especially if an episode kind of doesn't have like a really strong narrative throughput of it, mm-hmm. Where you just go, okay, I'm going to have to like find the story in here. It's kind of like shooting a documentary.
Yeah.
When you shoot a documentary, you get tons and tons of footage and then you go, okay,
you put the story together later.
I know there's a story in here. I just have to figure out what the story actually is.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of every Modern Rogue episode.
Okay. Modern Rogue, the docuseries.
Yeah.
So we talked about this in the Patreon segment, doing the first pass series of videos, whatever that feature we're calling it is. Or rather, that is what we're calling it. Calling it a feature or a series is what's up in the air.
Right. Although, real quick, that name was real last second.
Yeah.
Because I was like, what do we call this? And then Jason was like, oh, call it the Please Don't Put This Out, Brant episode. And I was like, that's funny, but that's not a name.
That's not sufficient enough.
And so it was gonna be like source episodes or source cut episodes for a long time, because I like the idea of like kind of the source sample, like the original footage. But then it just wasn't vibing well with me. And then I was like, okay, well, like maybe uncut long thing. And then I was like,
good,
well,
SEO on uncut long thing.
Yeah. And then I was like, well, I don't want uncut to be in the title because there will be cuts when it's like when somebody says something that's revealing or whatever personal information,
right.
Or even just like if somebody says something really just bad PR. Bad,
if we had to cut something, you're gonna know some real shit went down.
Yeah, and I just want some wiggle room for that, especially if there are guests on. I want to be a little bit more reserved with guests on episodes and stuff. So it ended up being first pass because it's kind of like if you're doing a first pass edit of the episode, you see the multicam feed and you have the whole bit of footage. So that's kind of the idea.
I like that.
Yeah.
How does the first pass idea, do you think that the first pass idea makes extended outtakes redundant on a significant level? Because I think it does whole stop, like definitely, like that is, you are getting everything, so anything that would be in the outtakes is in this, but like how do you think it affects the value of extended outtakes?
So I think it serves functionally, it serves a different purpose than outtakes.
Yeah.
I think from a technical standpoint, yeah, you're right. Like, there's all the footage there. There's all the bits that would be outtakes in there. Mm-hmm. So if you got 2 hours to kill, by all means, sit there and watch through it. Yeah. But the thing that extended outtakes are kind of valuable in the same way that Scam Score Remix is valuable, mm-hmm. because it's a curation of the important stuff. And so extended outtakes is, yeah, look, I know you don't have 3 hours to watch us sit there and go, well, how do we shoot the rest of this episode? I don't know. Let's do three more takes of us figuring out how to do the rest of this episode. And that stuff is fun to watch and interesting from kind of like a voyeuristic perspective. But I think the extended outtakes is like a fun, tight little package of just, you know, here are all of the bits that weren't included in the episode. So you're not going to see any like anything that's redundant from if you watch the full episode, unless it's redundant for a reason, unless I put it in there to emphasize something or whatever.
Point, yeah.
And so it's just like, here's just the vitals of these fun extra moments. Yeah. Although I haven't figured out which is longer to edit yet.
Outtakes or
the first pass stuff. I mean, the first pass stuff
definitely
takes a really long render.
Yeah.
But the first pass stuff, generally speaking, the only work I have to do for that is to watch through it all the way and make sure there's nothing really horrible in there.
Mm-hmm.
But the outtakes isn't a ton of work.
Because ideally you've been cutting those out while editing.
Yeah, so when I edit, I say, oh, that's a fun moment. Let me clip it out and then throw it in the timeline for extended outtakes.
But then you have to arrange them. You have to get the audio to a certain point.
Yeah, there's still a fair amount of work into it, which is why we haven't had one in just a little while, because it's been so crazy. But I think there's I can imagine a group of people who have the time and motivation and want to watch the first pass, and they'll say, okay, now extended outtakes, I don't need to watch that because I've already seen that stuff. Mm. There's definitely going to be a handful of people who do that. Yeah. But I think the extended outtakes will still thrive pretty well, especially since, and keep this in mind, first pass is just patron.
Right.
Extended outtakes is patron early, but will eventually go public. So
Yeah, I figured as much, but I'm glad to hear it in your own words.
Yeah.
That's great. Okay, let's shift a little bit away from Modern Rogue. Let's talk about live events. We just were at Nerdtacular 2017, which is in Snowbird, Utah.
Yeah.
Utah.
Right
next to Salt Lake City. It's up in a resort. It's up in the mountains.
Beautiful.
Gorgeous. And we were there for Nerdtacular, which is like the spiritual finale of Nerdtacular. As in, they, and Scott's been all weekend explaining this, like this thing that's happening won't probably happen again for a while, but there will be other things that they do.
Interesting.
But that is a Frog Pants Podcast Network based convention. So they get this resort, they get the rooms, and they do live shows, live podcasts. Builderand did a great fashion show, cosplay fashion show thing. And we went and did Night Attack, which is Brian's comedy show that we've talked about multiple times on here. And also Justin did a version of his one-man show, Jury, called OPP, Other People's Pain, which was like this prepared...
Yeah, you know me.
Exactly. You know what? Before, when he announced it, he was like, that's the song I'm going to come out to. And then he didn't. He came out to his normal Jury song. And then
rookie
when he,
mistake.
Yeah. And then when he said it, it's like, oh, yeah, I meant to do that. It was like, all right, good on you. Good on you. That's always, it's always great. I don't know. That was my second time going to Snowbird, and it's great. You can go and do some hiking and get to see all sorts of people. But the Night Attack episode was kind of a trip. It was an incredibly hot and cold episode.
Hmm.
You had a lot of like really great bits and some real clunker moments. Moments that, I mean, we don't edit down the podcasts too much for like bad bits or stuff that kind of didn't go anywhere for a minute. But I would have considered it on Night Attack if we were in that state of just like there's some weirdness. But then you also had Will Harris, the English man. He's more than that, but he's also in between jobs right now. Get on stage like completely fucking hammered and come up with an amazing improv song with Mike TV. But that was preceded by like 5 minutes of actually bad improv comedy from kind of everybody. It was
sounds a lot like Harmontown, which I think is Brian's goal, is to just have Harmontown.
Okay.
Yeah.
Be his podcast.
Oh, God.
That's okay. Sure.
Because I feel like a lot of Harmontown is like people get drunk and then there are some bad bits and then they get on a groove and then it works.
Good happens.
And yeah, then it stops working and then it works again and it just kind of goes back and forth.
Okay. You know what? I see that. I can see that. But it was just a weird thing. And that was compounded by like I didn't get all of the audio files that I needed from there. Like I got Todd Whitehead, who does Alpha Geek Radio, which is great, gave us his broadcast file, which was good, except for the fact that his broadcast file was not pre... Like, I guess there was a point where the show went off the air, and so that moment was just lost in the file that he gave me. So it was a lot of like, well, who is the sound? Who are the tech people? Can I get their backup? Because I knew the reason I didn't do mine was because I saw someone else had a Zoom, and Todd said they're recording it, everyone's going to get their files. So it took and the stream was down for like 2 minutes. In any case, that was a lot of fun and pretty wacky. Coming up is Scoops Fest in September.
Is that just a whole convention around Patrick Klepek?
No, not quite. This is based on the Hey Scoops podcast, or the Matt and Mattingly's Ice Cream Social podcast, which is a spin-off product of the Penn Sunday School podcast, I believe. It's kind of a similar thing where it is like a live streamed comedy show. We recently introduced them to Twitch and they're loving that. But that is September 22nd through the 24th, and we're not on the schedule, and I thought that I heard that we were going to be. Night Attack is going to be there doing something. So that's in Las Vegas if you're around. Cool. And then Dragon Con is coming up.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to be really close because Dragon Con is Labor Day weekend. Dragon Con is September 1st through September 4th. So like we'll be in Vegas at the end of we'll be in Atlanta at the beginning of September and then Vegas at the end of September. That was weird. I thought I thought they were bumping up against each other, but no, they're about a month apart. So that's something to look out for if you want to see Brian and Justin do the comedy stuff. They'll be good.
In the flesh.
In the flesh.
Person.
And if you listen to Night Attack, we will record those. Like we do with all the convention stuff, we will record them and put them out as best as we can on the RSS feed as quick as we can. Hmm. So that's live events. While we're on the topic of podcasts, let's talk a little bit about DiamondClub.tv. If you don't know DiamondClub.tv, like Max and Jeff, because I know you guys are like a little more outside of the podcast realm. Like, do you know much of anything about DiamondClub.tv as a website?
It is a website.
Okay. It is a website. Indeed.
Things happen on it.
Accurate. Yeah. Okay.
So audience surrogates. Gotcha. No.
Yeah.
It is a great community of good people.
So it's
always fun.
That's where the live streaming happens, right? I mean,
yeah. So when all the live stream podcasts got off of Twit, the idea was, well, hey, we need a place to put all this stuff. We got a lot of friends doing a lot of different things. Let's do DiamondClub.tv. And so when you go, whatever's on, we'll be there. And then a couple years ago, it got completely revamped by Sergeant Muffin, who made this amazing multi-channel thing, and it's got all sorts of crazy great features. But due to like changes in his personal and like work life, he's like you know, I barely even get on the computer anymore. I don't have the time or the bandwidth to do it. And so in the coming months, DiamondClub.tv will transition to something new. And I don't say that because I want to keep it a secret. I say it because that is the end. That's where the conversation is at currently.
Here it is, guys. Somethingnew.com.
Okay, there we go.
I'm donning my hat so that I may take it off in reverence.
Oh, yeah, for Sergeant Muffin. I dropped my hat.
Your moment of silence.
I'm just going to put my hand over my heart and say a Hail Mary. We don't know what it's going to be. Because of kind of the way that Diamond Club is set up, it's from hearing it from Sergeant Muffin himself, things are kind of precarious. Hmm. And trying to go in and modify stuff and make it an open source way that people could modify would be less efficient than just using more current code. Yeah. So we have, I found out today that they're like, I thought it was just T2 who is like admin extreme for all of the Diamond Club chat room and all of this other stuff. Wants to work on it, but also like a cadre of like a dozen people want to help make a new DiamondClub.tv. But we don't know what it is. And we don't know what we want, because the last two times DiamondClub.tv got made, someone else made it, and we said, thank you very much for making this.
Right, yeah.
So we'll see. You know, between Twitch becoming more ubiquitous, between YouTube getting some of their shit together, between Beam and Mixlr and Justin... No, Justin's gone. Ustream... thing, you know, IBM bought Livestream. Do you know that?
No, that's weird.
I believe it was a live stream that they bought, but IBM just like bought a streaming company that was really big. And what the result of that is that there are a lot of services that are easier to tap into. Ustream. They bought Ustream. And they're making it like this business product now. It's weird to go to Ustream and be
for
like,
what?
Yeah,
conferencing stuff.
Okay. Yes. Yeah. You do whatever, IBM. Dumb, seems like a stupid idea to me, but
you do Ustream.
Got that sick Ustream tech now.
Yeah. Yes. Ustream strats.
Yeah.
And so we don't know what it's going to be, but we've got people on it. If you'd like to help, find them and say that you want to help, because we don't know what they're working on yet. But hopefully as soon as tonight, I can talk to the guys and kind of get a sense. My guess, look, if I had to put dollars and donuts on it, though, what they'll say is like, hey, whatever people can make, give us that, which is not... People work best with constraints. Go poorly,
it's been a very nebulous podcast this week.
W. Scottis 1 says there's a Slack if you want and just ask. Yeah, I guess they've made a Slack for people who want to help. So find someone and ask them about it.
Hit up W. Scottus One.
W. Scottus One, yeah, in the different places. Mm-hmm. So that's the podcast update. I want to get to Max and Jeff and just kind of like check in, see how things are going. Max, how you feeling? How you doing? How are things going lately?
Things are good. Things are good. Yeah, actually testing a bunch of new products, which is exciting.
Great.
Including one mysterious thing that bursts into flames. So that'll be always a fun thing to yes.
Oh, that'll be cool.
Yeah,
that'll
yeah. Cool, we yeah. have a we have a company over somewhere, Magic Theater. Very lovely people who have helped us with some fun R&D.
Great.
So very soon in the near future, you'll be setting fire to your friend's extremities in the bar with a. A certain particular object that no one suspects.
Legally speaking, don't do that.
Do not do that. It's great.
I know it's always tough to talk about products that aren't out yet because
well, right,
stuff
absolutely.
Changes and stuff,
so yeah,
that's exciting to look forward to. And yeah. like we talked about this a while ago of like product videos being more standalone things, and so
yeah.
as the TV stuff has gone away and as more products come in, we can have more of those that are like. Content-y and not here's an ad wrapped around Brian shouting at you.
Here's the thing, yeah. buy it. Yes,
so,
right.
So very cool. Jeff, you it's been a couple months now.
Yep.
Like, and
yeah.
I think you're getting your scam legs.
I think so. It's strange because I actually have been, I'm doing the episode for this week and yet I'm still here doing this. So that speaks to less pants on fire, everything burning down around me and
okay.
more, I don't know. I feel like we're starting to get into a much better groove. So.
Yeah.
Excellent.
That's good.
And well, I'm glad. I know that the last few episodes that you've sent over, when I've had notes, they've been very small or like,
I just figured that everybody was like, we don't have time. Jeff, just fucking put it out. We don't care anymore.
Well, like I didn't say that.
I mean, maybe a little.
but that is a result of like you getting it, and
sure.
so like I am impressed with how good shit's coming out. So
cool,
good stuff,
excellent,
very nice.
So that's that.
Yeah.
So okay, everybody, look, let's do a little exercise.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Scale of 1 to 10. We've had a tough month. I feel like we've right. Yes, that eyebrow raise confirms that we had a tough month. We're also kind of coming out of that now a little bit. How like 1 to 10, 10 being the highest. Like, how are you doing? Are you good? Like, how are you? Look,
is it a measurable number or is it like
just what does your gut say you feel, Brant? How do you what's your number, bro? All
right, sleep number,
sleep number 35. very loose,
0.5
on a 1 to 10. Right now.
Granted, you woke up early for the launch.
Yeah.
So I'm sure you...
After a very late night of doing Go Game work.
Yes.
So I'm a bit tired. I'm going to put myself at 6.5.
Okay.
With projections forward to getting up to 7.5 and 8.
That's good. That's good.
Yeah.
There was some good stuff over the last month. I went to my brother's wedding. That was good.
Oh yeah, how was that?
Nice.
I was best man, but I wasn't able to be there for very long because I had to drive my mom to and from the airport. But that was good, although that required a lot of doing a lot of like a big heavy crunch beforehand to get all the work done in time. So that was very very stressful. Because that's a thing you don't want to miss. You can't be like, yeah. Monorogue ran long this week.
You can't be like, I like watching the video. It's the best view. Like, no, you want to be there.
So it was very stressful. So it was probably like a good 4.5 to 5 through most of the past month and a half.
Yeah.
But I feel that rising a little bit now.
Good.
That's good.
Good. Max? How you feeling?
Things are good. Things are good. Solid 8, 8.5.
You would.
I don't have to deal with this crap. Are you kidding me? Load things on boxes and put them
change
in the truck.
Change my number to a 5.
3.2. No, things are good. So yeah. No complaints here.
Okay. All right.
That's good.
Jeff?
It's...
You have a lot... I know you are constantly doing coaster, a lot between Scam School and Rage Select and all.
It's between 3 and 7 all the time. It's, I mean, like, sometimes... Wow. The momentum gets back up to like 8, and then sometimes it goes down to 2, and it's just like a yo-yo. Yeah. Like 2 days ago, I went to the
classic fidget spinner.
Yes, exactly.
The original.
I went to the pool with my lady friend, and we went and got barbecue afterwards, and it was a lovely day. And
then that's great.
Last night, I decided that I was going to eat like a bowl of chocolate chips for dinner. So that kind of got me down to like a 2, and then like a very shaky...
Like, 2 times 4, 2 times 5.
It was a but at the 7 end of it, an idea.
But there's a point. There's a point at the end where like afterwards, I just ate a fucking bowl.
The crash.
I ordered wings for lunch a few weeks ago, and I was like, okay, cool. I went and got wings, and granted, I had them for breakfast. But then
okay.
But then later, I found myself on the couch, like just eating the rest of the ranch with my finger, and I was like, "What the fuck am I doing? This is a low point for
doing the Lord's work, is what you're doing."
It was good. Yeah,
never leave ranch behind.
So that's like a 9 morning, 2 afternoon.
Yeah. It was probably I don't know. My mornings have not been great lately. But so yeah, I was you're eating, flexing like, between 3 and 7. Morning,
yes, I mean, yes. Yeah. Wow. Don't eat. Or maybe like the secret
treat yourself
is,
right.
Is you can eat a few handfuls of chocolate chips, but don't make that the only thing that you eat. And then also don't drink a lot of coffee after you eat the chocolate chips.
God,
because
no.
I'm not 20 anymore. I thought I was going to die for a second. So.
The TV stuff got me to a very low point.
Yeah.
The TV stuff got me to a 1. I was like, the stress was physically manifesting in aches and sores the point where it's like, I don't know if I'm hungry or just really, really worried. Mm. But like between Nerdtacular being a really fun time, between us getting back into a normal groove, between the Patreon doing well, all the other podcasts and stuff doing pretty well, like I'm getting back up there. I feel like right now I'm at a very solid 7.75, about there, and trending optimistically up. You know, I got the second floor in my house in Animal Crossing. I got that Crash Bandicoot game. I'm feeling good. I'm feeling good. So
what animal? Like 3DS Animal Crossing? Yeah. Oh wow!
I just got a 3DS. So like this is a whole new. Well, it's not a whole new Wild World. That was the old game. This is a new Leaf.
Yeah,
a whole new Leaf. Okay, and summer that just reminded me. Summer GDQ just happened, which is always makes me happy. Yeah. So, okay, good progress report. We will put that in the tally and see
what's going on our record.
Yeah, those are the record. Talk about useless YouTube numbers. Here's some numbers that mean something. we're running a little bit long, but I think we've got time for some miscellanea. Anything really cool happened that we haven't touched on lately? I watched that 8-hour Final Fantasy speedrun on GDQ. Mm. That was pretty cool.
Nice.
I forgot how much of a soap opera Final Fantasy VII is.
Oh, yeah.
I never got into any Final Fantasy stuff.
Really? I didn't either.
Yeah. But Danny O'Dwyer just had Danny O'Dwyer just had a documentary about Final Fantasy XI or whatever
a series on 14.
Oh, yeah.
The online game.
Yeah, MMO.
14 is fun.
14 is good.
It's fun, yeah.
I hear the new expansion, 14? Stormblood, is good also. Well, that's the MMO.
The class, the new classes were pretty cool. I didn't get to see any of the new areas, but the classes were pretty cool.
Yeah, I spent a month with Final Fantasy 14 and really dig it. Like, that's a good MMO you could play by yourself.
Yeah. Hmm.
Nice. You probably don't want to, but you could. but, like, the history of that game is crazy because, like, the game came out and it was so bad they had to turn it off and remake it completely.
While it was still up.
When that game came out, they had a system where after you played the game for like 3 or 4 hours, the game would then stop letting you get XP because they wanted you to go like make another character and start over with a different class.
What?
And it was it was one of those ideas that they just needed some human from the world to come in and go, fucking what?
Yeah. Well, and like now with the way 14 is now, one character can be all of the classes
yeah.
at any given point.
That's nice.
There's no friction. Yeah. But like even the new the Realm Reborn version of Final Fantasy XIV is fascinating because like the lore of that game is the first version of that game being fucking destroyed.
Yep.
Like there's a war and Bahamut comes down and is like, fuck this shit, try again. And all the remaining survivors made awesome. That world.
Yeah, it's a really crazy story. You should really go check out the Noclip. It's a 3-part series, and it talks all about like how the original version was a disaster and how they were like building more onto the original version while they were simultaneously building a whole new version. And then they and all of the decisions that went into it, the whole story behind it, it's really fascinating.
Yeah. You know, Polygon did a really good on a similar vein, Polygon did a really good oral history of Final Fantasy VII a few months ago. And it's huge, and it gets like all of the people who were working at the time. There's a good interview portion with Uematsu about the soundtrack. That's if you dig that sort of like internal stuff, that's also something to look out for.
And then 12 is out today.
The new version of 12.
Yeah,
new
remaster one, of 12.
Zodiac Age. Mm-hmm. That's right. Yep. And Polygon just did an oral history on that too. I don't think it was as big as the Final Fantasy VII one, but yeah. That's I never got into 12 because that was the point where like, okay, Final Fantasies have been this like sort of medieval setting lately. Well, 10 wasn't. It was not my tea. It was not like the setting that I was super into. But now that there's a remaster out and the new stuff.
It's medieval-ish.
Ish, right. But it's like castles and stuff. It's like, I don't know. I like 7 and 8 where it's like near contemporary.
I like half the characters in Final Fantasy 12 I think are great. Fran and the I always forget the airship captain guy and like some of those guys.
Sid.
they're great. The other half... I hate Van and his little girlfriend, and I hate
Van is the main character though.
Well, technically, the princess and him are like co-main characters, but yeah,
I think I played a demo once of one that had that introduced Blitzball.
Oh, 10.
Hey, yeah. There you go.
Sounds fun. Yeah.
Blitzball is. So they're adding Blitzball to Final Fantasy 14.
Hooray!
Yo. So I think I played like 30 minutes of that.
Yeah. That's. I watching that Final Fantasy VII speedrun made me go into the like the Final Fantasy wiki and read up on like all this deleted stuff that was added or like dummied stuff that they coded out of the game but it's still in the disc and all the debug rooms and all the different things. I love stuff like that.
Very nice.
Anything else?
I got a slide belt the other day. Those are kind of cool.
A pants slide belt.
It's a ratchet. Slide belt's the name of the brand. It's like a ratcheting belt.
Okay.
So instead of holes punched into it, it's got the rivets underneath or whatever, and then you just kind of pull it through the buckle and.
Okay.
It's really nice.
Did you get the one with the pocket knife and the little lighter?
No, I didn't.
Ooh, I got one of those to kick ass. You got a little bottle opener right there on your crotch. Perfect. It's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. I just got the normal ones, but yeah, they're real nice.
Yeah.
Very cool.
I finished watching Friends. We talked about that.
Right. The Friends. So what's next?
Was that your first time?
No. Okay. No. I grew up on Friends. I had like all the seasons on DVD in middle school or whatever. And so it was actually really weird going back into it and going, oh, this is where I got all my sensibilities of humor. And like this is why I am the way that I am, because of this episode and this season. And oh, now that I'm an adult, it's really weird that Matthew Perry looks really sick in this episode. This is just really not good.
There's one, what this is like between season 3 and 4 where it's like a two-parter or something, and then the finale he's like super skinny, and when they come back it's after he's gained a lot of weight, and it's like the next scene in
that's real weird, strange.
Yeah, season 7 was real bad with that stuff.
Have you planned your next like ultra watch?
No, I mean, I've
make it Frasier.
No, he just
that was my
Frasier.
First. That was my first one.
It's in Frasier. Cheers.
Ooh, Cheers. Good.
That's well. Yeah,
I've seen some potential candidates, but I kind of want to get back into the flow of like watching movies again because it's been a while.
Yeah, you're a big some good guy. Stuff out there. Yeah.
So
yeah,
Night Court.
Someone this past week suggested we do Night Attack Court.
Yes.
And do a bit with the theme song. And
That was a bit.
Was it?
They did that.
I don't remember it. Well,
I think it was before Night Attack was a show. I think they did something that was like Night Attack Court after the Night Attack name had existed, but before the show had existed.
Well, the thing is, I've never seen an episode of Night Court, and so I don't know. Like someone's like, and they can all he can be this character and he can be this person. It's like that means nothing to me. But have them do a Judge Hodgman thing and
that'd be fun.
Weigh in on complaints and stuff. But
yeah, there was definitely an intro. I can't remember if there was a bit.
Open Bio says it wasn't a bit, but it was an intro video. Yeah.
Okay. I don't remember. It's been a long time.
Yeah.
You've never seen an episode of Night Court before?
I saw the episode of 30 Rock where they make a Night Court reunion.
Yep.
But I still don't know those characters.
Okay.
So, yeah, I've never seen that Night Court either.
Oh my God, it's the best show. No. Yeah. John Larroquette, he's a scumbag. Harry Anderson's a magician. And then I'm sorry, I'm not going to describe Night Court magician.
All right. Well,
also go see Baby Driver. It's a real good movie. We talked about it in the pre-show. Go see it. It's very nice.
Go see it at your local cinema. All right. Plugs. Let's go in newest to oldest order. Jeff.
Sure.
You want to plug something?
Sure. Rage Slick. Just go there and you can watch videos. We did a lot of VR recently because it's the summer doldrums and I got a PSVR. So
fair enough.
We did Rush of Blood, which is actually really scary. And this kind of weird time crisis game called Mortal Blitz this week. So, and then in a couple weeks, Super Hot's coming out. But yep, I don't know. We do Let's Plays and podcasts and stuff. So
very cool.
Very nice.
Max?
DJ Old Fashioned on Twitter. You can find me musing about whatever I'm ranting about. Or you can find me on Twitch occasionally. I believe I am Excalibur025.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, trying to kill myself over Crash Bandicoot because goddamn, that game is really way too difficult.
It's not. 2 and 3 aren't bad.
No, they're not.
But I want to go through
first
Crash 1.
Brutal.
And
I know.
Very tough.
It's
tough.
Okay.
Very cool. At DJ of Fashion.
Classic Crash.
Classic Crash.
Brandt? Well,
technically
it would be me, but I'm running the ship. I'll go.
All right, you want to close it out. Fair enough. You can find me on Twitter at Gatowag. That's GATOWAG. You can find me on Twitch under the same name. You can find me on Instagram under the same name where I post photography stuff. You can find me all over the place under Gatowag, presumably. You could also find me, if you really want to, you could go to patreon.com/modernrogue donate $5 or more, get into the Discord where you can find me.
That's right.
Very nice.
But he's Brandt on there, not Gatowag.
True.
Okay. We went with our names instead of like Gatowag and Neshcom.
True.
Did you put any thought to it? Because I followed what you did.
Right. Yeah. I felt like
you want to build your brand, the brand, brand.
Yeah. I felt like Gatowag would be one step too removed for that audience. There are so many people that see the people on the screen, but don't dig deep enough to see this podcast.
Yeah.
And figure out who's behind the scenes. But I do know that my first name is in the description of every episode and is on the title card of every episode, and Gatowag is not.
Yeah.
That's fair.
So that's why I went with that.
Yeah. Very cool. You can find me on Twitter and Twitch at Brycas, BRYCAS. You can also see me on the twitch.tv/nightattack occasionally. We do the Night Attack Rewind on Saturday weekends. Saturday. Take
evenings.
Three. On Saturday. Mm-hmm. It's not always on the weekends, but it's usually on Saturdays. We go back and watch old episodes of Night Attack and SFW and BB Live Show and stuff, and that's a good time. And of course, Night Attack, Cord Killers, Weird Things, all the good podcast stuff that you don't probably know, or you do know, in which case me saying it really fast doesn't help anybody. So find those at their respective places. Neshcom.com is my website. This show is called The Bizarre Briefing. You can find us at bizarrebriefing.com. Get the RSS. You can find us on YouTube at youtube.com/scamstuff. You can watch this lovely visual presentation of this audio podcast there.
Wow.
Of course, you can find us on iTunes. You might be able to find us on Stitcher. I think we're on Stitcher. I know we are on Google Play. I know we're on Google Play. I'm pretty sure we're on Google Play. I think I remember submitting it to Google Play. Find us, The Bizarre Briefing. And until next time, we'll see you later. Bye, guys.
Yeah. Bye.
See you around.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.